I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. As you consider the wise men this morning, let's go to God in prayer first, shall we? Father, as we consider another familiar story, Lord, I pray that our hearts, our ears will be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to speak to us, something new from an old story. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The traditional story of the wise men and the gospel story of the wise men have as many differences as they do similarities. Beginning with the Middle Ages, the traditions, the legends regarding these men have grown and grown, but they are not based on much biblical fact. Today's scripture is the only record of the wise men or the Magi. So perhaps before we get really into it, let's see what we really know. First, concerning the number of the wise men that came to visit Jesus, we don't have a clue how many of them there were. In the East, tradition says there's 12 to 14 wise men. In the West, we say there are only 3, but the Bible doesn't tell us. Since they brought 3 gifts, people assume there were 3 wise men. Tradition even has come up with 3 names: Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. Not found in the Bible anyplace. Also, contrary to tradition and to the songs we sing, they weren't kings, just wise men or magi. And we know they were wise men because they were willing to stop and ask for directions. I won't go any farther than that. It'll just get me in trouble. It's assumed that they traveled on camels, but the Bible doesn't tell us how they traveled or even from where in particular they came. We're told they came from the east, with that being Arabia or Persia, or anywhere else in East Asia. However, since Magi were generally found in Persia or Babylon, think of the book of Daniel. Many assume that this is where they came from. If this is correct, they had to travel about 900 miles to get to Jerusalem. So between planning and traveling, this trip would have taken many months to accomplish. A trip of this length would include soldiers and servants, as well as the Magi themselves. So the group that showed up in Jerusalem would have been quite large, and I think rather impressive. There are some biblical facts concerning the wise men. The gifts the wise men brought were gold and frankincense and myrrh. Another fact is they did see a star, but they didn't follow it to Jerusalem. It appeared where they were and then disappeared until they arrived in Jerusalem, or really at Bethlehem. That's why they had to stop and ask for directions when they got to Jerusalem. Another fact that gets ignored or twisted by legend is the place where the wise men found Jesus and his family. Contrary to nativity scenes, even the one in front of the table, they didn't find Jesus in a manger, surrounded by shepherds and angels and displaced farm animals. If you saw it in verse 11, they found Jesus in a house. By the time they arrived, Jesus and his family had left the manger. They had moved into a house. Jesus was no longer a little baby. For that matter, look at Matthew chapter 2, beginning verse 13. In other words, picking up where we left off. Matthew chapter 2, beginning verse 13. When they, that is the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Now jump down to verse 16. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Jesus was younger than two, probably around one. But in case the Magi had miscalculated or deceived him, Herod didn't want to take any chances. So he expanded the age of the boys he ordered killed up to two. This way, the pretender to the throne would be sure to be eliminated, and Herod's rule would be protected. From Matthew's account of the Magi, there are some things we can learn about these wise men. First, they came in faith. They came in faith. Since they had traveled to find the announced new Jewish king, they went straight to the capital of Judea, Jerusalem. This was the obvious place to find the one born king of the Jews. And since they, as foreigners with limited spiritual knowledge, knew about this historic birth, they would assume that everyone in Jerusalem, really all of Judea, would know about this special infant. Think about it. They must have been shocked when they kept asking, and no one knew what they were talking about. They must have been quite disappointed and perhaps somewhat disheartened that after their 1,000-mile trip, no one had a clue about the new king of the Jews. The only thing their questions seemed to do was to get everyone riled up. Matthew didn't identify or explain the star that they saw. But not surprisingly, people have come up with a plethora of ideas or theories. What it really is isn't important. If it were, the Bible would tell us what we needed to know. What is important is that the Magi saw what they identified as an information-giving star and came to Jerusalem because of what it meant to them. There's no biblical evidence that the wise men followed that star or that it continued to shine throughout their journey. It gave them just enough information to put them on the right road, the road to Jesus Christ. They came in faith to worship the newborn king of the Jews. They said, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." So why did they leave the comfort of their homes to go on such a dangerous, long journey? All kinds of possibilities. Perhaps just the adventure of it all. The search for knowledge, romance, wealth. But the wise men came in faith. They had no doubts that he'd been born. Their question was, where is he? They'd seen the star. The evidence was real. Now, where is he? They had faith that he was alive, that he existed. Now, all they needed to do was to find him, because they had come to worship him. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter by many. In verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And so in faith, these wise men were willing to risk everything to find this king of the Jews. They were willing to leave the safety of their homes, to risk a journey full of difficulty, to seek this special king. in Matthew 7:7 that Bob read earlier, Jesus said, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Their faith in seeking out the King would be rewarded. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do see, absorbing what we do not see." In faith, these wise men traveled 1,000 miles, mostly on foot, to fall down before the King of the Jews. God had spoken to them through the stars, and like Joseph and the shepherds, they had heard and they responded to God's call. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And so they were seeking, and they were about to find him. King Herod, he was disturbed by their questions. The people of Jerusalem, they were troubled by the insistent questioning about the so-called child. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, were rather indifferent to the request. But in spite of all what's happening around them, the wise men never gave up. They had had trials on their journeys. They had had trials in Jerusalem. But their perseverance would be rewarded when they finally saw the infant Jesus. They came in faith, and their faith would bring fruit. In John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me, you will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." The wise men came in faith. They also came to worship. They came to worship. As we read, after Herod received the information he wanted from the chief priests and teachers of the law, he secretly called the Magi and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Herod's concern was for the time of the star's appearance, not its meaning, not its significance. All he wanted to know was the time of the birth of the one who would be a threat to his own power, to his position. The time of the star's appearance would indicate the age of the child who had been born, the age of the child who must die. So after getting the information that he wanted, Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, a small village 5 or 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The Lord rewarded their perseverance and faith and gave them some detailed help which led them directly to Jesus. You see, camels don't have GPS, so God had to send a star. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. That this star was not a real star is evident from the fact that it could stand directly over the house where Jesus and his family now lived. Perhaps it was like that pillar that led the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe it was an angel, or maybe a host of angels, like those that appeared to the shepherds. We don't know. But regardless of what it was, the Magi were overwhelmed that the special star reappeared to them. It was almost as if Matthew was at a loss of words of how to describe their joy. The New American Standard writes, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were beside themselves with joy." As we saw earlier, the Magi didn't find Jesus and Mary and Joseph in a barn or a cave. They found them in a house. And when they came to Jesus and his family, they didn't worship Mary. They bowed down and worshiped only Jesus. Oh, no doubt the Magi were delighted to meet Mary, to meet Joseph. These are very special people. They've been specifically chosen and favored by God and entrusted with the care of God's only son until he grew up. But the wise men worshiped only Jesus. Only he was God. Only he was worthy of worship. Matthew wrote that they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. These gifts were part of their worship. They weren't an addition. Oh, let's see what we got in our saddlebags. In faith, they'd planned on doing this from the day they left home. They'd come prepared to worship, and they had brought their best. They'd brought gold. Gold, the most precious of metals, to honor the King of Kings. They gave him frankincense, a costly, beautiful smelling incense that was used in the temple in worshiping God. They gave him myrrh, a valuable perfume, myrrh which was used in preparing mortal human bodies for burial, gold for his royalty, frankincense for his deity, and myrrh for his humanity. They had thought about what to bring. They came prepared to worship. And finally, they went away changed men. With their mission of worship and adoration completed, the Magi left Bethlehem to trudge back home again. No doubt, they expected to hear at a later date the details of the life and succession to the throne by the child born in Bethlehem. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They had planned on returning to Herod, just as he had asked. But after worshiping Jesus and being warned in a dream, they changed the way they went. You know, but I suspect that after finding and worshiping Jesus, they were changed on the inside too. They had followed God's leading. Their faith in God had been rewarded. Their encounter with the Son of God must have changed them, just as it changes everyone who encounters him. Jacob. Back in the book of Genesis, Jacob wrestled with God, and he never walked the same way again. He was lame in one leg. Isaiah. Isaiah stepped in the presence of God and was a changed man. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, begin in verse 1. Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook. The temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Isaiah was never the same. Job questioned God over and over about the reason for his sufferings, and when God answered, Job replied, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I'll say no more." Job met God and was a changed man. The wise men had seen God. They undoubtedly were changed from meeting God from the inside out. The wise men, they came in faith. They came to worship. They worshiped only Jesus. They had come prepared to worship, and they brought their gifts: gold for his royalty, frankincense for his deity, myrrh for his humanity. And they went away changed men. It's Christmas time, and one of the things we see, it's on Christmas cards, is the wise men, the Magi. They were wise because they had faith. They were wise because they worshiped God. They were wise because they were changed by God. And all this happened because of one small child. So how about you? Do you come to the Son of God in faith? Remember what we read earlier from Hebrews 1, verse 6, 11, verse 6? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we read, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You can't be saved from your sins and saved from an eternity in hell without having faith in Jesus Christ. In John 11, 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Later in John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father
except through me. So I guess the first question, thinking about the wise men. Are you wise? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Because of their faith in God's promises, the wise men left home and traveled 1,000 miles to honor the King of the Jews. Their faith changed their lives. Does your faith affect your life? Do you live your life in faith in God? Really, if you want to live a victorious, satisfied life, you need that faith in God. Turn back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, way back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God, is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that is victorious? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. To live a satisfied life, you need to live in faith in God. Second thing, how do you worship God? How do you worship Jesus? The wise men left everything to go and worship Jesus with the best that they had. They sacrificed their own comfort, their time, their safety to find the King and worship him. Jesus talked a little bit about this worship. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 37. Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus said, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus put it this way in Luke 14, verse 33. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Like we see in the lives of the wise men, to truly worship Jesus requires sacrifice. In love, Jesus came to die on a cross in your place. The greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice that you can give to God is yourself in return. The effort you make to worship God is your sacrifice to him. God doesn't need things. Micah tells us about that, reminds us of that. I like these verses of Micah. Turn to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Micah writes it this way. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What God wants most of all, above everything else, is you. He wants your heart. He wants your attention 24/7. Question is, what are you willing to give him? Are you willing to give him your best? Are you willing to go on a spiritual journey to worship him? Are you willing to give up your comfort zone to follow Jesus Christ? The wise men were. What about you? Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God wants you, your heart, your attention. And finally, has knowing God changed your life? Are you different now than you would be if you weren't a Christian? Perhaps as we think about Christmas, as we think the trees and presents and what God has given to us, maybe we all ought to kind of renew our commitment to Christ. Let the Holy Spirit fill you, and you will be changed just like the wise men were. Things will be different. Step out in faith, like the wise men did, and seek Him. Worship Him. Allow Him to change you. Let me close with the words from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 goes like this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help each one of us, Lord, to look at our lives. Lord, first off, to make sure that we have come to you in faith. Lord, that we have made you our Lord as well as our Savior. Lord, help us to worship you, not just on Sunday mornings. Help us to worship you 24/7. Lord, as we see the change in seasons. Lord, as we see the trees and all the houses with the lights on them, they remind us of you. May we worship you. Lord, may we be willing to step out of our comfort zone to worship you, to be the men and the women that you would have us to be. Lord, change us. Lord, may we not resist the Holy Spirit as He tries to grow us into the men and women you would have us to be. May we yield. May our lives bring praise and honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.